everybody, and welcome to the Grim Scenarios Mailbag Question episode. We solicited some questions, we've gotten a bunch, and we're going to answer them to the best of our abilities. How you doing, Mel? How you feeling today?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm doing all right. I'm excited. I was really excited to do this episode. This kind of goes back to like the original concept of the podcast in a way. Like, we were going to take questions and answer them. Yeah, so it's fun to finally get around to doing this.
It sure is. It sure is.
Well, I think we just get right into it, huh?
Yeah, that seems good with me.
All right. So our first question, and I've paraphrased these questions just so that, you know, they're sort of easier to understand. If you are a demon with a lunatic in Bad Moon Rising, how can you effectively use that to your advantage, especially online?
Yeah, and this question is from Lars, 1897.
So I think the first thing is learning a lunatic gives you some information, right? Like, that's the like first thing that's valuable about a lunatic, about, you know, having a lunatic, is you know there's an outsider in play, you know where they are, you know that at least at the very beginning of the game they're going to be a little bit confused about what's going on with their situation. They're going to be double claiming, so you can start kind of working from there, right?
Yeah. I think the informational aspects of it are something you can always use, like, who the lunatic wants to die is information you can also use. If you think the lunatic is currently fooled, that can be means that this is a player who town trusts. If you think the lunatic isn't fooled, it could be a player that town doesn't trust and the lunatic is trying to get the demon to kill.
If you have a godfather on your team, it's a player that you can get killed to get the godfather a kill. Or if they get killed, you know the godfather is going to get a kill, so you can plan around that. If you have a DA on your team, you can have the DA protect them to frame them. You know, there's a lot of things you can do just by having that information from the start.
What I haven't mentioned, what neither of us have mentioned so far, is sort of the option of trying to trick the lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not saying isn't ever viable and can't be helpful to people, but it's exceedingly difficult to make work, both online and in person. People say it's much easier in person, and in the sense that it's nearly impossible online, I guess that's true. But it's still pretty difficult in person. But ultimately, it's not super helpful to you as an evil player. Because part of tricking the lunatic involves with being willing to sacrifice yourself or your fellow evils to protect them, which, if you're the demon, there's a sort of analytical problem with that, right? If you're trying to sacrifice yourself to protect your fake demon, that's all well and good for the fooled fake demon plan. It's pretty rough for the win the game as the evil demon plan unless you're a Zonbul or you have a mastermind that can let you survive your execution.
Yeah. Maybe there's some small additional play. Like, maybe this is like an upside slightly for mastermind that doesn't mind as much like having to get their demon killed, but it's a very narrow case.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is, generally, don't let your lunatic get reads on who you're killing or not if they think, no, they are the lunatic. Which, again, they're probably going to figure out most of the time. It's more like, you don't want them to say, aha, the demon, let me kill the tea lady pacifist and innkeeper, but didn't let me kill the demon. Because that is powerful social information.
Mm-hmm.
It's not logical information, but it is powerful social information. And you don't want to fall into that trap. Like, if the lunatic makes a kill of a player you want dead, kill them. If they don't, don't.
Yeah.
Like, recognize the lunatic is there is to provide some early confusion for good.
Yeah, and usually if you're going to follow lunatic kills, either commit to following some lunatic kills early or just don't. Because the risk, of course, is if you're following lunatic kills and then you stop following them because they picked you, then you're in a bit of trouble because you've stopped following them because they picked you. If you're just not following lunatic kills, they're going to be like, well, I don't know, none of my kills went through. And that's often just a better situation. It's better for them to know they're the lunatic than for them to go, hey, I killed two, they followed two of my kills, and then they didn't follow the third kill. Now, you can also use that to frame somebody, but again, it's, you know.
Have one of your minions counterbluff lunatic specifically, or the counterbluff outsider.
Yeah.
Like, that gets you into a position where the lunatic can be framed. Which lunatics suffer from the problem that they're super trusted.
Yep.
When they come out. So it's just another way that you can sort of convince yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I really think, from my seat at least, lunatic is an outsider because it gives the evil team that information, and maybe that player is a little suspicious or like does some weird stuff on the first day or two. It's not meant to be a sort of sustainable full game long.
Yeah.
You think you're the demon, like you're trying to win in final three thing.
And regardless of whether it's meant to be that or not, it's simply not.
It isn't that, yeah.
And as evil, you don't really want it to be that. You don't want to be in a situation as evil where, like I said earlier, where your commitment to fooling the lunatic forces you to vote on your demon.
Yeah.
All right. Our next question is, what are some things you think about when you are out at Eve, or when should you do it? When should you try to convince town you're good? Should you change between those two? How and when should you vote? This is from Paulius K.
So I think the context of this was also to some extent like when you're not just a vizier or something that's obviously outed, right? Or a psychopath that has to out, right? When you're something that doesn't necessarily intend to or doesn't necessarily have to be outed, but ends up outed. And I mean, the first thing is, don't point at your demon, lol, right? Like, whatever you do, don't do things that make town believe that your demon is your demon.
Now, I want to just interrupt there. Sometimes doing that when you're out at evil includes saying that your demon is evil.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Vote on them sometimes, you know. Yeah. You're going to start to play more erratically when you're an outed evil, just by the nature of it. You're going to have to do things that town isn't going to be able to read. If you're out at evil and you just continue to vote on good players only and you make arguments that protect the demon and you try to like hang on to like some veneer of being on the good team, it's probably not going to help your team. When you're out at evil, lean into it. Lean way into it. Have fun.
Out at evil can mean different things. I like don't think you need to like go out of evil mode every time someone gets an evil ping on you.
No.
Or someone says you're evil, which some people consider out of evil. But that's not really it. I think like the second part of the question is more interesting. The first one is sort of more game situation specific. The short answer is you should out evil if you think it will cause the good team to execute someone who is not the demon instead of someone who is the demon.
And that someone can be you.
And also, sometimes you can be the demon,
yep.
And outing evil can make them less likely to execute you.
Yep.
And I know that's sort of wishy-washy, but like that's the analysis you have to be making. Is in my read of the social situation of the game, the informational framework of this game, will outing evil make them be more likely to execute me? Will make them more likely to execute a good player I'm framing by associating with them? Or will it make them more likely to execute my demon? Because if the answer is the last one, you should not out evil. If the answer is anything else, if you outing evil is going to draw fire away from your demon, out evil.
And if you're the demon, and people think that you're a minion, it's late in the game, people think you're a minion candidate, only, you know, people are looking elsewhere for the demon, be a minion candidate. Be openly a minion. It may help you, because if town is like, oh yeah, they're just the insert minion here, that's fine. vote erratically, you know, try to frame one of your minions, you know, try to frame a townsfolk. Like, you can do a lot if town thinks you're evil. It doesn't mean town stops listening to you. It means they listen to you differently. I will say one thing that I think some people fall into the trap of is when you out evil mid or late game, don't forget you've already said stuff and done stuff to the town. So if you've already tried to start confirming someone and then you out evil and that someone is your demon, town is going to think that person's probably your demon. But if that person wasn't your demon, you might be framing them up real good. So you just need to think about what you've already said and done in the game and, you know, be flexible, be adaptable. Don't always out evil like I used to do. Sometimes, you know, you have to pretend to be good to get to the end of the game. Depends. Next question is, again from Paulius K, what's the difference between advice and information, and how do you formulate good fisherman advice?
Yeah, so let's start with what information is, because I think advice is really a subset of information in my mind, so I don't really... Information is something that comes from the storyteller to a player about the game state. Which includes advice. So, advice is a subset of information rather than not information. And that's why advice is still subject to, for example, the war talks. What's different between advice and sort of information, like let's go with village idiot, because it's the simplest form of information in the game. Pick a player, learn if they're good or evil. Advice should be indirect and actionable most of the time. So, like, John was evil is normally not going to be advice. That's a statement with the game, but, you know, a bounty hunter or a village idiot or an empath could learn. It's not, or a savant, all these characters that don't learn advice. Advice can be sort of anything that's both indirect and actionable. It gives the fisherman a game plan.
Yeah.
Advice suggests things for the fisherman to do to effectuate the win con, not things about the game condition. So, like, a stereotypical advice piece of advice is trust player X. Now, normally, does trust player X imply player X is good? Yeah. But some evil players will tell important true information, and if you follow, will say truths, and if you follow those truths, because they don't think they'll be believed generally, and if you follow those truths, trusting them is a good idea, even though they're evil. That's like the stereotypical advice, but you can of course get much better advice.
Yeah, I think the crucial thing about fisherman advice is that it's advice to help them win the game, which means it should, broadly and not necessarily directly, indicate some course of action. Emma said the basic one, which is like trust player X. What I would say is, if you start your phrasing of fisherman advice, even if you don't say it out loud, in your head with the words, you should something, something, something. You should trust player X. It'll help you make the statement more clearly because it'll help you remember that you're supposed to be guiding them in a direction. You're supposed to be pushing them toward a win condition rather than just sort of stating some factual thing. And it's hard to get that right every time.
Yeah. I think like the situations where fishermen are frequently most powerful is when there's an execution of the block. And the fisherman wants to know if it's a good or a bad execution. Because in that case, like, you should lift this can be very powerful advice. Or you don't need to worry about this can also be powerful advice.
Yeah. I think those are maybe the strongest information you can get. And it's part of the reason why the fisherman can get advice during the day. It doesn't have to be before nominations. You could be three nominations deep, nobody's on the block, and you could go get advice from the storyteller. And the storyteller may be able to help direct you as to, you know, like maybe say, you shouldn't execute today, you know, or whatever, you know, because maybe you've missed all the evils or something. I don't know, you know, but there's ways of thinking about you know, giving it advice, and that may be too powerful. Yeah, I think
next
that's
up, what should you do when you're good but everyone thinks you're evil, especially when you don't have info or can't get more info? This question is from Weeksy.
I mean, that's a hard situation, right? When everybody is on the path that you're evil, you're not just going to be able to sit in town square and, you know, and say to everybody during nominations, look, I'm not evil. I mean, you can, but it's not going to be that effective to say, look, I'm not evil. This is the information I have, you know. So what you should do is you should find the people that are likely to trust you somewhat and start talking to them either in your private chats or get small group chats. If you're dead and that's the reason why you can't get more info, right? That might be, you know, a reason to go talk to other dead players and try to connect people's information together. See what path your information directs you toward. Now, if your information has already been acted upon, you're just going to want to try to, it does, sort of doesn't matter to some extent if everybody thinks you're evil, as long as you're getting the information to contribute to the good team, you know, to help solve the game, to vote in the right direction. If people are hiding that information from you that will help you vote on the demon, then that's a problem. But if your information's already been acted on, you know, you have a ping on someone and they're dead or alive, you know, depending on what type of ping it is, it's not necessarily going to be something where you need to convince them you're good. You just want to make sure that they continue to include your information in worlds that they're building.
So I think I'll take this in a pretty different direction. I think there's like three recommendations I can get when you're in this situation. One, don't give up. Don't be like a baby. Don't have a temper tantrum. Don't whine about how no one trusts you, but don't give up. Continue 100%. Playing. Continue playing the game. Continue trying to participate. Continue trying to convince people you're actually good. You can get people to change their minds. Good players should be willing to reevaluate what they think about the game. So never just surrender and say, well, everyone thinks I'm evil, so it doesn't matter. That's the one step you can take with it, I think. Another is lean into it. Play like you're out at evil, but with the goal of helping good. There is a game I watched so many years ago at this point. It was during the original World Cup, so not the most recent one. And Patters was playing a game where he was hard framed by the storytellers as the leech when he was a good player. He was saved a few times by, I think, a pacifist. And he wasn't even an execution survivor role. And the evil team is sort of just happy to let him be a fake leech and move on from there. And he just leaned into it. He admitted to being the leech when he wasn't. He said, you can't kill me. And then he started doing the things he would do as out at evil to push away from his evil team. To push towards the players he thought were actually evil. And he got some of them killed. I think the end of this, evil eventually did win. But it was a very effective play. Like, if you really think the situation is hopeless, that no one's ever going to change their mind, that they're committed to it, lean into it. And it can be practiced for the next time you need to be outed evil as actual outed evil, about how to push down in your direction when no one trusts you.
I like that one. How much should I hide my plans and what I say when the storyteller can hear? This is from our good friend Ryback.
This sort of depends on whether you're good or evil to a degree. As an evil player, almost never.
Yeah.
As an evil player, you want really, really want the storyteller to know what you're thinking, who you're framing, what you're bluffing, what you're planning to do. Because the storyteller doesn't know that. The storyteller, especially on custom scripts or even SNV. SNV is actually a landmine for storytellers accidentally blowing up the evil team's worlds because they don't know what's going on. So, like, as evil, almost never. As evil, try, you want to try to let the storyteller know what you're thinking, so the storyteller to plan around that. If the storyteller learns your entire eviling team is hard committed to framing three players, they're not going to give information that proves that those players are good, because that'll out you all. If the storyteller knows you're trying to frame the mutant, the storyteller probably shouldn't break mutant madness to help the good team. Sorts of things like that. As good, it can be a little trickier. Because most of the storyteller agency in the game is designed to let the storyteller balance things a little bit towards evil. And I can really go into the game theory of that, the history of game theory studies of Mafia. Mafia is, from a game theory perspective, close to a 50-50 game if you set it up right. But from an actual play, experimental perspective, even with no information, it's super good favored. Like, so a lot of what the storyteller's role in is one of the clock tower is doing things subtly that bend that natural bias towards good in these sorts of games back towards evil. So if you want to be sneaky as good, hiding things from the storyteller so they don't know how to properly bend it back to evil is a little bit of a strategic boon. That said, you can also kind of feel shitty.
And the storyteller knows everything about the Grimm, and even if they don't know what you're thinking, even if they don't know what's in your head, you know, your specific set of plans or theories, first of all, could be wrong, and the storyteller isn't going to care. You know, they're not really trying to manipulate you individually directly most of the time. They're mostly just interested in the state of the Grimm. Storytellers will act off of, you know, individual metas, and they'll certainly act off of social reads and things that they hear in the game. But much of the time, what they're doing is at least, you know, substantially impacted by the Grimm state. Your belief that one person is more suspicious than another might affect that. But there's also 11 other people around the circle whose, you know, thoughts and theories might impact it as well. So it's not even that easy to know whether the storyteller is even acting off the information you get. And like Emma said, kind of feels shitty.
Right. This next question is mine to ask Milf, and I'm also going to take the first stab at answering it, because I have feelings.
I have feelings about it, too. I have a lot of feelings about this one. So
how do you craft an effective accusation or defense without directly outing your role by sharing it or your information without being overly vague? I'm going to just challenge the premise of this question. Don't do this.
Yeah.
If your information is relevant enough to act on, please share it with the good team so they can evaluate it. Like, so, like, I'll take a typical example from Trouble Brewing. The empath has a 1 on their neighbors because they don't want to say they're the empath. So instead they say they're the investigator with pings on their neighbors. First of all, okay, you're the empath. Second of all, the real investigator says, that's not the investigator. I'm the investigator. Those aren't the investigator pings. These are the investigator pings. Then you look like a liar and you look evil. If you want people to act on your empath 1, tell them about your empath 1.
For sure.
And don't go doing it in private to a few people, because doing it in private to a few people and then not sharing it publicly is telling the evil team critical information, because and if every 2 people you talk to, if you talk to 2 people privately about your information truthfully, there's a 50% chance you've shared it with the evil team, and that goes up with each additional person you tell. So the answer to this question is, just tell people why you want to execute them, and if it's relevant to you staying alive as a good player, tell them why you should stay alive.
Yeah, this is also one that I have very strong feelings about. And I think the premise of the question is more interesting if you ask about a defense, because, you know, maybe someone has information in their defense that their role, that they could share with their role, but they don't want to be forced into sharing their role by being accused, right? That's a different situation that I think is a little bit more interesting to talk about. But if you're making a vague accusation, without information, or if you're making an accusation on someone else's information, you're going to have to share the information. You need to put it out there so that people can make a choice. And like Emma said, if you've there's what I would call consensus builders, who like to gather a group of players that they trust, like a small group subset of the players that they trust, and they share the information just in those players that they trust because they're trying to build consensus and they're trying to build a group of good players who all are going to work together to kill the evil team. And as Emma pointed out, if you shared your information with two people, then you've probably shared your information with an evil team. Evil team could just infiltrate that trust group, and there's almost nothing you could do to prevent it. And so now you're just hiding information from the good team players who you want either to vote with you or to recognize that the information is not accurate. So sharing your information to get accusations to go through is good for that reason. The second thing is, and this is a personal feeling, and Emma can challenge me if she wants, I think in many games, evil players are allowed to be a little bit lazy with what they do because the good team spends a lot of time not sharing information. And evil doesn't have to make worlds to combat that. They don't have to work around the information. They could just sort of hang around, and the good team doesn't really push them because the information doesn't come out that forces them to make defenses. It forces them to take action. It's better to force the evil team to have to do things to win than to just let them kind of sit back and see what happens. And putting out your information will do that. If there's an investigator ping, share the investigator ping. Maybe you don't want to share your empath one on day one. That's fine, but don't push on your empath one without sharing it, right? We've done 60 some episodes of grim reading on this podcast where we looked at investigators who were saying that there was an evil next to them. That's an empath. We all know it's an empath. You've all learned to see that's an empath. And then I think it makes the game easier for evil when you do that. And then I think the third piece of this is if you're accused with a vague accusation, call out, hey, that accusation doesn't make a lot of sense. And if you're accused with an accusation that's based on information and the information is not shared, then you say, I can't defend against an accusation that doesn't have information, and you shouldn't vote on it because the players accusing me could be evil. And then in the third, if they do have information, you could listen to that information and counterbuild worlds against it. You shouldn't just throw away your defense. A lot of players don't. I think too many players don't pay attention to defenses and don't necessarily listen to defenses. But defenses are important. And notably, in the game rules, it is enshrined that a player does get a defense when they're nominated, but it's not enshrined that they get an accusation. And so defending yourself is an important part of the game. My question to ask, what is some advice for running Travelers in Legion games? Should the 2/3 good alignment rule be flipped so that they're evil roughly 2/3 of the time? Usually Travelers are good roughly 2/3 of the time is the recommendation in the rules.
So this question is from Viva Lasan, and it's one of the few questions I put some preliminary thought into. I think you should mostly just ignore the 2/3 thing for Travelers in Legion. Here's what you need to focus on is the key power for Legion, the power that makes games for Legion winnable is that until Final 3, no execution can happen without the consent of both teams. And you're like, wait, no, only a good player needs to vote on it. No, because there's a majority evil player. The evil team also has to agree to the execution. It can just be one evil player, just like it can just be one good player, but both teams have to agree to an execution. So if your Traveler is good in the Legion game, that causes that situation, that incredibly important balancing tool for a demon that has no other ability except for they're necessary to pass any execution until Final 3, causes that balance to be off before Final 3, it's real rough for evil. So, and where this is normally going to come up is, and this is a rule of thumb, is in a Legion game that will have an execution on 5 players, Travelers should be evil to ensure that good doesn't have, a single Traveler should be evil to ensure that good doesn't have the ability to execute who they want on 5 without Legion's consent.
And the reason for that is the mathematics behind it, right? Yeah. The mathematics
the
behind
three, three
how Legion
situation.
Works. Yeah, the 3-3 situation. Yeah, yeah.
So how that's going to work out is I think it's going to come out to, if you have more than one traveler, it is going to come out to that there have to be at least 2 out of 3 of them have to be evil to keep the balance of having more evil players than good players on 5. And with big games, you have to worry about other numbers, like other odd numbers, essentially. 7, you might have to start worrying about 7 in 2-minion games and 9 in 3-minion games. So I guess in that sense, my answer is yes, it should be flipped. But more to the point is, much like how the 2/3 thing isn't really a randomization, it's not like saying if you've had 2 travelers good, the next one has to be evil, so it keeps the 2-3 balance. It's more saying, looking at the Grim stage, should this traveler be good or evil? Most of the time, they should be good. Is what the 2/3, 1/3 thing is really saying. And the converse is true with Legion, but the mathematics are much more important with Legion. You do not want to get in a situation where good gets to start controlling executions before a final 3, because then Legion is truly a demon without an ability.
Viva La Sam runs a lot of big games. I know that he runs a lot of big games on his stream, and he tends to like to not worry about the player count. And, you know, add lots of travelers and things like that. I think I'm generally more questioning the premise of the question, which is I'm not 100% sure that if you don't look at your Legion game and really have a sense of what's going on in it, I'm not sure it's always great to add a traveler. Obviously, if somebody comes late and you want to add them sort of late in the game, you're probably going to have them be evil in a Legion game just because of the way that the math works out. If somebody is leaving early, and this is more for in-person play to an extent, if someone is leaving early, you're probably okay to have them be good earlier in the game if they're going to leave by like day 3. But I agree with Emma, the math is very tricky when you're putting a traveler in a Legion game. It's hard to make that determination. Probably they need to be evil more often than good. You don't want the voting to be disrupted.
The other thing is I would avoid the killing travelers in Legion games. Once the time gangster, yeah. Known gunslinger. A good player dying to one of those is just not is sort of doing too much.
And similarly, something like Scapegoat, if you have a good Scapegoat, you may end up being forced to kill off that good player, and you may be put in a situation where you can't. So it's actually a little bit hard to think of what travelers really want to be in Legion games. Bureaucrat and Thief are both pretty rough in Legion games to an extent. Like, they just unbalance. Bureaucrat especially, Thief maybe less, but Bureaucrat can really unbalance that mathematics of voting.
Yeah, especially a good Bureaucrat can
really
unbalance the mathematics of voting. Though Legion can get rid of a good Bureaucrat if they want to, I guess. Deviant would always be fine.
Yeah, Deviant's fine. I think a good Beggar is probably going to be a problem because Legion are going to be the ones who are dying. Like, it's really hard to just think of it, yeah.
Certainly don't want to take away a good dead vote.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, like, I would say Butcher's fine. Deviant is fine.
Maybe Judge is okay, but it can be a little feels bad.
I would not
do Judge.
Through
on a good, so I think that's
probably
not
okay. Yeah, an
evil
Judge
is
probably not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, an evil Judge is no. I was thinking of a good Judge maybe is okay. But even then, you're still maybe pushing through on a good player in a way that doesn't feel great.
Yeah, Matron is fine.
Matron's fine. I guess a good Vudon could work because they would be voting, but they'd be directing the kills. That seems really unpleasant.
Yeah, good. No, that seems unpleasant.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that.
I think evil Scapegoat is fine.
Evil Scapegoat is fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm running out. You know, I'm genuinely like running out of like things that are probably going to work anyway in Legion. So.
Okay, next question. How do each of you feel about cider, and why is it the best alcoholic beverage? This is from Brendan.
What a surprise, Brendan asking a cider question. I love cider. I drink it on stream fairly regularly. I'm actually off alcohol for a few months right now, but when I come back to it, I'm sure I'll have a few more ciders. I enjoy a nice, crisp apple or pear cider. They're delicious. Nice fall drink.
It's okay. It's not the best alcoholic beverage. Sorry to disappoint you, Brendan.
Well, you know, you got to get one silly one in, I guess. Should you always trigger pacifist on the first execution if they are a good player? How do you run pacifist in a way that doesn't narrow down worlds too much? This is from Ruth.
So the short answer to the first question is yes. There's a more complicated answer, but for newer storytellers, the answer, you can generally follow the rule of thumb of yes.
Yeah.
For the second question, it's probably don't have the pacifist save two different players unless good really needs it, in which case it's fun. You're not narrowing worlds down too much because good is in pain. The longer answer to the first question is pacifists should generally get to proc at the first time they have an opportunity to do so. That can't be attributed to a different good player. That will help the good team.
Yep.
So, pacifist saving a sober sailor or a
drunk
fool.
Drunk sailor, even.
Or a drunk sailor. Doesn't really do much because these are attributed to the sailor and the fool. Pacifist saving the good neighbor of a tea lady when they have an evil neighbor. That's using the pacifist to help the evil team. Pacifist saving the good goon, probably never something you should do.
Yep.
Unless good is in a real bad position, you should not pacifist save the good goon. Unless killing them will end the game for good.
And to be fair, that's eliminated, a few options maybe that would be, challenging for us, to work around if you've got all those in the bag.
Other than those, generally, the pacifist should trigger on the first execution they can.
Yeah. I mean, that it's pretty much straightforward that way. The pacifist should save the reason that the pacifist should save the first person that they can usually is because they might not get another chance. First of all, the good team might be executing evils and they don't get a chance to activate. They're a townsfolk. They should help the town. Usually saving a good player on the first day of the game is going to help the town. Make sure that your script, assumedly we're talking about Bad Moon Rising, but, make sure your script has a reason for a saved player to potentially be evil. That's also, important sort of basic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. On BMR, the pacifist is always fine because there's the DA.
Yeah.
So the good team should always have to wonder whether the pacifist save is actually a DA saved. On custom scripts, it can get dicier, and there can become a lot more things you shouldn't do.
Agreed.
You also may not want to create confirmation chains of three or more players, because those can be very hard to penetrate. Maybe don't save the grandmother confirm.
Yeah, maybe don't save the grandmother or the confirm usually is.
No, the grandmother is generally fine, but the confirm
is
maybe.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, the grandmother's okay to save.
Maybe don't. On a custom script, if someone nominates a virgin, probably don't pacifist save them.
If you're kind of committed to pacifist saving on the first day, something else you can do that's interesting is put the pacifist and the professor both in the bag on BMR, because they have a really interesting sort of push and pull kind of dynamic where the professor wants someone good to die and the pacifist wants someone good to be saved. So that can be an interesting interaction if you want to look at that. That's about it.
Okay, next up is also from Wraith Milk, and it's how do you make gossip kills less meta-able? How do you choose when to kill more powerful or unspent townsfolk? When do you kill an evil? What do you do if a gossip kill would end the game with an evil win?
So I'll go to the end first, and I'm going to talk about this in a more broad way, I think. If a gossip kill would end the game with for the evil team with an evil win, gossip probably shouldn't have gossiped. That's my feeling about it. You are mechanically, as the storyteller, required to make a kill there. Maybe, very, very narrowly, maybe that's a place where I would possibly use a fool's life to eat a gossip. But if the gossip is taking that risk, they should know that they're taking that risk, that it's going to end the game. They should have an idea of what the game state is and be able to deal with that.
I will say there are some exceptions to that part, which is technically possible on an 11-player game in BMR.
Yeah, it's technically possible.
For a gossip on day two after zero kills on day one to end the game in an evil victory.
Yep.
Maybe in that situation you sink the gossip, because the gossip had no reason to suspect that was the case.
You can sink that into a fool or a sailor or a tea lady neighbor or something.
Dead body is what I'm thinking. In this situation, there is no fool or tea lady neighbor or sailor.
Oh, that's right, because they're all gone. Yeah.
Because you're killing like 10 people in a night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay to sink it there, probably.
Yeah.
But more likely, use some other effect to kill the gossip. I don't know. It's I guess the gossip is sort of the most selectable effect. But yeah. Anyway, but more broadly, right? It's going to depend on where you are in the game as to whether you're killing powerful or unspent townsfolk. And this sort of applies to storyteller chosen kills at night. Most of the time, I use two metrics to decide this. The first is, I think about what the evil team knows, and the second metric is I think about what would be a fair drawback for the gossip. So, a fair drawback for the gossip might be killing an outsider, which lets the good team know that the outsider's been confirmed, but there's a good player dead. Sometimes, you know, if the chambermaid's gotten 3 days of information, that's a good amount of information. The gossip's still gossiping. Probably just kill the chambermaid. It's fine. Like, players who have gotten some information are going to be more likely to get killed. If you're in a custom kind of situation, killing off, you know, if you just kill off, you start knowings and unspent once per games, it's going to be very obvious that those are gossip kills, I think. Or ST selected kills if you have an ST kill selection demon. Gossip is a little bit different than those, because the ST kill selection demon should be helping the evil team directly, and the gossip kills should be more of a drawback for good than sort of direct evil help, but it's a very fine line for me.
Yeah, I disagree with almost all of that.
Great!
Gossip kills are a drawback. They are pro-evil. What good gets from it is the information. What they lose from it is the death. The death should be whatever is most balanced for the game state at the time. Which, if that's killing a good player who hasn't got a chance to use their ability yet, oh well, they get the gossip information instead. If that's killing a powerful townsfolk who could get more information, gossip information is stronger. I'm sorry. Like, I have no compunction of killing whoever I think is best for the game state as a whole, because it is a drawback for the good team. It is a pro-evil part of the ability.
Do you think, do you balance that out on how powerful the information the gossip is getting would be? So if gossip's something, you know, useful.
Yeah, if it's like truly useless, but that's almost never the case. Because even like a gossip of I am the gossip is incredibly powerful.
Sure.
It proves a lot of stuff.
I'm just thinking there maybe are less useful and more useful gossips, and maybe there's a balancing factor involved in that.
And I don't really think so. It's similar to the innkeeper drunkenness, where the innkeeper drunkenness should go wherever it hurts the good team more. And this will also help make gossip kills less meditable. Storytellers, with all the storyteller kill things, are too faint of heart. They don't kill unstunt rolls enough. They leave ongoing information around too long. Because they're faint of heart, and they feel like people will be sad. Push all that over your mind. What is the best kill on the board, given the game state, that keeps things fair, balanced, but is pro-evil? That is who the gossip should kill.
I actually mostly agree with you on the last point. I do think people don't kill unspent roles and ongoing information enough with gossip kills and ST demon selection kills. I think they should generally just be open to being killed. But I do think the game state, you know, wants some balancing. All right. We have a question from Nick. What are some of the things you look for when you are socially reading someone? How do you articulate that you have a social read on someone in a particular way? I think that second part is kind of interesting. It's, you know, just saying, oh, yeah. I have an evil read on this person, you know, is not really something other people can act off of.
Yeah, the first part is really dependent on your relationship with the person and their own individual social cues. There are some universal tells on Clock Tower.
I'll give an example. Prosody is a common way of determining if someone is lying or not. It's a common technique used in lie detection. Prosody is the fact that when people lie, their voice lilts upward at the end of a sentence, at least in the English language. So it's something that is slightly predictive of lying and that some people can listen to in your voice to determine if you're telling a lie. It is not 100% by any means. It is simply one factor that we use in our like natural day-to-day life of detecting if someone is lying to us. But again, someone could be lying to you and not necessarily be on the evil team.
And now that Milk has told you that, I'll tell you one of my secrets, which is when I know someone is a prosody listener and uses that as per social reads, I will do the lie tilt intentionally, good or evil, telling the truth or lying.
I do that too. I ask a lot of questions. Asking questions. So when you ask a question, your voice lilts upward at the end of the sentence naturally. Like, why are we doing this? Right? That's natural. So asking questions or phrasing your statements in the form of questions can also be prosody quite easily.
Like, so generally with people you know, you want to look for them acting differently than normal. Because that is the tell. That is the closest thing to a universal tell.
Yep.
Is people play evil differently? And they play good more often. You're good about 75% of the time. And evil though 25% of the time. So if people are playing differently than they normally would do, that's a tell.
If you're a hard solver, right? And you like really get, you know, into solving the game and getting into mechanics, if you do that when you're good 75% of the time and 25% of the time when you're evil, you don't do that, that's obvious.
Yeah, I think it's similar to any other type of information. Explain it. And, like, one of the reasons people are reluctant to do this, to explain social reads, is they feel bad for identifying tells, or the more sinister version of that is they're trying to maintain an advantage they have over a particular player by not revealing they know a tell. Just share your social read, let other people evaluate it, share the reasons you think that someone's acting evilly, and go from there.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you mentioned that, like, people being hesitant to talk about tells, because we play some text games, and it's interesting that people are much more open about talking about other players' tells when we play in text games. And I think it's because social reads are harder to quantify more broadly in text games, because you don't have like vocal and facial cues. So the only thing you have to talk about is this person doesn't usually play like this.
Yeah. All right. Our final question is from Meeks. It is, are there any characters you used to dislike but now appreciate? How about the reverse? Why?
We got into this somewhat in the tier list. when we were revisiting the tier list and realizing that maybe some of our picks were a little biased by our earlier selves. I think there's characters that have trumped other characters in my mind to an extent. I think there's characters that I used to really like for reasons of like the way I'd like to play or the things I liked. I'll just give an example. I'm a big Baron stan. I have like a Baron coaster right here. Baron is on my little name tag that Alexis made me. I still like Baron. I still think Baron's an interesting character. But to be honest, I think Zahn is a really, really well-designed character that is a very self-balancing in terms of the way it interacts with outsiders. And it's probably trumped Baron quite a lot for me. I don't know that there's any characters that have come down substantially for me that I used to like but now dislike. But I will say, I used to be really negative about Gossip and Artist. And I know that they're powerful. And I, you know, talking to Emma and doing this podcast series really changed my mind about Gossip and Artist a lot. And I enjoy those characters much more now. I think being able to craft your own information has a lot of value. You know, I approach gossiping slightly different. I do a lot of reverse gossiping where I gossip things I think are false. I've started to use Artist in some other interesting and different ways that I quite enjoy. So I think just like listening to the conversations that Emma and I have had over the last couple of years has made me really appreciate those craft your own information type characters a lot more than I did before.
I would say as an initial matter, I more or less like all Blood on the Plop Terror characters, even the ones I don't like. So I'm going to address this out of their characters who I like less than I used to. And the answer is yes. I would say Serenovus is probably the strongest example of this. Serenovus is a character that drew me to this game that I thought was super fun when I first learned about it and saw it. And I was like, no, I want to play this game. But I think it sort of... Serenovus, I think, has a disturbingly high risk to someone not having a fun time. Both the player who was made mad and Serenovus, who the player who's being made mad doesn't get to play the way they want to play. And the player and the Serenovus frequently feels that madness isn't being really punished harsh enough, because it isn't. But also, if you punish madness harsh enough, then it's even more or less fun for the player who doesn't get to play the way they want to play. I just think it's sort of not... I think it's like a theoretically interesting role that ends up being a little bit not as good in practice. In the reverse, I would say Heretic is a role that's really grown on me.
I really like Heretic too.
Heretic was a character when I first started off with. I was like, this is sort of eh. Like, I want to know how to win or lose the game. It's not really fun to not know the win con. But I think a lot of that is Heretic's on... is there's very few scripts that use Heretic well. And once I started playing scripts that used Heretic well, I was like, no, this character is near the top of the clock tower.
I think we put it in S tier on the tier list.
You may have, I don't remember. But it creates a new way to have the puzzle, which is fun. And I think with a script designed to support it well, it really shines.
Well, hey, we did it. We got through some questions. We did a mailbag episode. Hooray!
Hooray!
We're so happy.
Until next time, may your scenario stay grim.